I'd like to ask your attention this morning for our message from one verse of Scripture as a focal point today, from Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66, verse 18. I began during the course of this week in reading from Psalm 66, and over the next few weeks, you're probably going to hear more than one message from this particular psalm. Now, there are several things that are there of great importance, but I want to focus on one verse today that is, to me, a pivotal verse in this psalm, and may very well be a pivotal verse in our lives. Now, as you look at the color of the screen this morning, you'll notice that it's pretty stark. And that's by design, because the subject is pretty stark as well. It's done in black and white. That has nothing to do with the current social unrest. It has rather to do with the fact that the statement that is made in this verse of Scripture is an absolute statement. It's true, and anything outside of it is not. It's not a great deal of shades of gray and if, ands, and buts. I want you to notice with me Psalm 66. Look at verse 18. You ever had the idea that you were praying and it seemed like God wasn't listening? Kind of creates frustration sometimes. But I would give you this verse to consider. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, I want to begin today by doing just a very basic word study. There are four words that I would call your attention to in particularly the first part of this chapter. You'll notice the first one of those words is the word regard. If I regard something. Now, it's a word that's literally means to see. If I see something. But it's used in Scripture in a wide variety of ways and applications. Among them are if I advise myself of something. You ever take advice from yourself? The Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. One of the least safe things is to take advice only from ourselves. Writer of the psalm says, if I advise myself regarding iniquity in my heart, it carries with it the idea of approving. If I approve iniquity in my heart, if I discern that, if I can tell it, if I enjoy it, if I make myself enjoy and become joyful about the presence of iniquity in my heart. You see, the idea in that word is the fact that something is dwelling, is being planned, is taking a place of prominence in my heart. If I regard, if I let this thing become a point of of a great deal of my consideration, a great deal of my fascination, a great deal of my pleasure, if I regard iniquity. Again, an interesting word. It comes from a word, it comes from a root word which means to pant. If you run, how many of you have ever run? And if you're like me, you have to run very far. But you found yourself and you were gasping for air. And you felt like you really hadn't accomplished a great deal anyway. Well, that's kind of the idea. The word literally comes from a word which means nothingness. You see, iniquity amounts to nothing in God's sight. Iniquity, wickedness, there's nothing of which God approves of those things. And that word that's used there, it specifically is often used in terms of defining an idol. An idol is anything, and folks, I'm going to tell you that can include our thoughts, it can include our attitudes, it can include our possessions, it can include things around us. It's anything that we set above God in our minds. And if we set our advice above God's advice, if we set our path above God's direction, then we create our own set of idols. And folks, if we're honest with ourselves, idolatry is ultimately the thing that brought about God's judgment and destruction upon the nation of Israel before the 10 northern tribes were carried away captive, never to return, and the southern tribes were carried away into Babylon. Because they began to worship the same things the world around them worshiped. If I value and enjoy wickedness and something above God, and I enjoy it in my heart, labe, my feelings, my will, my intellect, the very center of my being. If I enjoy in that center part of me, if it becomes part of my core. How many of you have ever used the term or heard somebody else use the term core values? You see, if I have at my core that which God declares to be wickedness, if I have in my attitude, if I have in my feeling that action or choice which God says is wrong. Well, I hadn't done it yet. Yeah, but if you've got it buried inside of you and you wish you could do it, the only reason you hadn't is because you're scared you'll get caught. You still got it there. You're still harboring it there. If I have it at the center of my being, at my heart. You see, there's the three words. The three words are prefaced by one additional word. My daddy used to say it was the biggest word in the English language. It's the word if. Now that little word tells me that it doesn't have to be that way. But if I choose to make it that way, I can put God's way first, as God has quickened me by His Spirit and drawn me and given me His instruction and His Word. And if I put His way first, then there's one set of consequences. If I regard iniquity in my heart, If I allow myself to approve and enjoy and dwell on something that I set above God, that may be hidden from others, but it's known to Him, then God will not hear me. Now I want you to notice something else very quickly. This chapter begins in verse 1 with this verse. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. But it begins with a superscription that says, to the chief musician, a song or a psalm. That little verse in verse 18 that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, is part of a song that was delivered to the musical staff of the tabernacle or the temple and was to be taught to God's people to sing when they came to worship. Now, I call that to your attention because it's not just an idea that belonged to one person. It wasn't just the feeling of the one musician that was responsible for writing the song. It wasn't just what might have been David. It was a truth that was to be declared in a song and taught to everybody to sing. How many of you have found it easier to remember something set to music than something that you've just been told to memorize? How many of you that are over 50 years old have found that you can remember the words to the songs of the 60s and the 70s when you hear the first notes start because you had them in your mind over and over and over and over and over? Well, you see, that was the purpose of this song. It was to be taught. It was to be sung often. It was to remind the people that everybody has the possibility of falling into this if. That all of us, as God's people, are like David. David said in Psalm 51, verses 5 and 6, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. If I regard iniquity in my heart rather than truth in my heart, I'm subject to do that because I have a sinful nature. We come into this world with that. I'm shapen by it. The impact is there, and it's very easy to fall into. But if I do it, rather than keeping wisdom in my inward part, if I regard iniquity, if I hold on to it in my heart. And again, I would say to you, this is not aimed at any single action. Well, if I kill somebody, but it's not limited to that. Lying lips are an abomination to God. Flee fornication. You see, there are a lot of things the Scripture tells us that we're to avoid. If in any of those things I harbor them, then Jesus said, he that breaketh the law in the smallest parts is guilty of it all. So the small parts are just as prominent. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the other part of that verse says, the Lord will not hear me. Now what I want you to notice is that God hears everything. You don't hide anything from Him. You don't whisper and get away from God. How many of us would walk up, look around and see who else might have heard? Well, you see, this is not a matter of capability. God hears everything. This is not a matter that God cannot hear. This is a matter that God will not hear. This is an act or an action of the will of God, because our sins and our sinfulness separates us from God. This is the word that was said in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 4. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. God don't have the problem. Now, a lot of us find ourselves getting to the place where we can't react quite as quickly as we did when we were 30 years old or younger. We don't hear quite as well as we did 15 or 20 years ago. We don't see quite as well. I can't lift quite as much weight. But you see, the problem's not with God. God's hand is not shortened. His reach is not lessened. God's ears don't get heavy that He can't hear. But your iniquity, and notice the combination of those words, but your iniquities. And what was it that the psalm warned us of in Psalm 66:18? If I regard iniquity in my heart. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Isn't it interesting? Same set of words based on the same circumstance. One given by a musician. One declared by a prophet. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity, and your iniquities have separated. God's not listening. Maybe there's something there that He has chosen, the reason He's chosen not to listen. I find it interesting in the last weeks to hear people talk about, we need to pray for our land. We do. Have you ever looked about and felt like God wasn't listening? I would ask you a question. Is there something that He's chosen not to listen to? Is there a reason He's chosen not to listen? Listen to what He said through Ezekiel, another prophet. Ezekiel was in the land of Babylon. Okay? Isaiah, then followed by Jeremiah, they wrote in the land of Judah, the land of Israel. Ezekiel was one of those that had been carried into captivity. All of the judgment goes on over here. All of the reporting is done to the people in captivity by Ezekiel. And one of the things I want you to notice about the iniquities of God's people. Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Notice this verse. Though that these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Now think about those three men. Noah, Daniel, and Job. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah was faithful in building the ark. Daniel was a man who prayed every day. Daniel was a man who spoke the word of the Lord. Daniel was a man who did not yield. He wound up in the lion's den because he wouldn't quit praying. Job was a righteous man. Surely God will listen to them. If those three men prayed to me, given the iniquity of this nation, the only sins I'm going to consider are theirs. Why? Because there was a people who had transgressed grievously against the Lord. And you see, here's where the black and white is. If I, as a person, if we, as a congregation, if we, as a nation, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then God will not hear me. But the following verse goes with it. Verses 18 and 19. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Now, it's very possible that David was the writer of this psalm. His name is not affixed to it, but it's very possible that he was the writer of the psalm. If David, who was a man who sinned, he was a man who sinned in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. He had murder committed to cover his own transgression of adultery and fornication. If David, knowing that there had been sin in his life, could come to the place and say, if I keep it there, God won't hear me. And you know, I think that comes from that period of time when following the death of Uriah and taking in that wife of Uriah, Bathsheba, knowing that she was carrying his child until the time when Nathan walked in and told him that story and said, thou art the man. David said his bones melted like wax. He found no rest. He knew what it was like to be separated from God, and it ain't pretty and it ain't pleasant. But the Lord hath heard my prayer. Let me tell you the first thing that statement means ought to mean to us folks. It means that God in His mercy will forgive us no matter what has been in our past or what has been in our mind or what we've hidden in our heart. If we turn from our wicked ways and seek His face, then will God hear from heaven and heal our land. Our land, our congregation, our body, our families. You notice the combination of this thing is an absolute statement. God will not hear the prayers of people who choose sin over Him. But when we turn, even a man like David could say, but God, in His mercy, has heard me. God, in His mercy, hath paid attention to my prayers. God's grace. You see, God hearing our prayers is not just a testimony, oh, y'all are such good folks, God got to listen to you. No, it's a testimony of the blood of Jesus Christ that died to wash away our sin. And God said, I forgive you. You see, folks, God hearing our prayers ought to be one of the most humbling experiences of our life. God may not give us the thing for which we ask specifically. God may not give us a nice, neat little package with a bow wrapped on top of it. But God giving us the peace in our heart that says, no, I know what's better. Just hang on, something else is coming. God paying attention to us. When we know He hears our prayers, is the most encouraging and comforting thing to know. Because if He looked upon my hidden sin that I was harboring and keeping, then He wouldn't hear me. But He's forgiven it. And He's washed it clean. And I've turned away from it. You see, there is the call to repentance. But I would say to you that when we have the encouragement that David had, when we have the encouragement of knowing God's grace hears our prayers, when God attends to it, it leaves us for a couple of questions. What am I regarding in my life? What am I spending my time thinking on? What is it that I keep? What is it that I hold on to? What do I have tucked down inside that I really don't want anybody else to know about, but I don't want to let go of it either? What am I thinking about? Is God drawing close to me and being attentive to my prayers, or do I feel like He isn't listening? Well, maybe there's a reason. I would leave you with the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. Be careful. That word means anxious. Be anxious, be fretful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. With petition and supplication and thanksgiving. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what am I harboring? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Lord and Father in heaven, as we bow here today, we acknowledge that like David of old, we've been shaped in iniquity and born with a sinful nature. We confess, Father, that it is so easy for us to fall into the pattern of harboring those things that you have told us to forsake and to turn away from. Lord, if we find ourselves today feeling that there's a distance between us and you, oh God, forgive our sin. In the blessed name of Jesus, in the precious blood which He shed, draw us in repentance. enable us to let go of those things which we've harbored, be they feelings, attitudes, words, grudges, injuries, whatever they might be. If we've regarded in our heart, help us, Lord, to turn them over to You in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, to beg Your presence, to follow You, and yet to know that there is the assurance that in Christ You will hear our prayers. Help us, Lord, personally, families, congregation, Your people in this nation. God, help us to turn away from what we harbor that would separate us from You. To follow You in the name of Your Son, Jesus, is our prayer. For Christ's sake, and amen.